content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the sound prints for Sunday, October 7th, is now online. The National Braille Press is announcing their poetry contest. The Fantasy Book Club will be meeting October 23rd. The Audio Describer Certification Class is seeking blind quality control consultants. The Air Carrier Access Amendments Act is a good story that I found on the web. The Answer Lab is paying accessibility testing blind and visually impaired people for their products and sites. Eyes on Success has interviewed a blind and visually impaired couple that dated across Ukrainian and Polish borders. The web has an announcement from the government that the president has signed the Marrakesh Treaty and other bills were enacted on the 10th. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for October 7th is now online. Certification for audio describers. Proposed legislation to update the ADA. More audible pedestrian signals in New York. How sighted people see people who are blind. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Enter NBP's annual poetry contest today. Calling all poets, the National Braille Press annual poetry contest is here. Writers of all ages are encouraged to enter their original Braille poetry for a chance to win a grand prize. The theme for this year's contest is nature, so go outside this weekend, enjoy the crisp autumn weather, and get inspired to write some poetry. And don't forget, the first 100 poets to enter will receive a free special Braille edition of 100 Poems to Lift Your Spirits by Leslie Pock. This book is full of old favorites and modern classics that are sure to warm your heart. Submit a poem as a Braille file .brf format to marketing@nbp.org or mail a hard copy to National Braille Press, 88 St. Stephen Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02115. The poem must be an original work, 125 words or less, using English Braille American Edition or Unified English Braille. Click for more information and official rules for the contest. Happy writing, National Braille Press, 88 St. Stephen Street, Boston, Mass., 02115. Roses are red, violets are blue, nature is lovely, and rhyming is too. The Fantasy Book Club will be held on the fourth Tuesday of this month, Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. We will continue the format of having everybody read a book and discuss their book choice with the group. We will be using a new web platform called Zoom, and see the Zoom invitation for this meeting followed by my signature. Julia Kulak, Group Facilitator, julia.kulak@gmail.com. Accessible World has decided to move to the Zoom Cloud Meeting platform from the Talking Communities platform for the various online meetings it hosts, effective September 10, 2018. You can attend Zoom meetings in many different ways, including with a Windows, Mac, or Linux computer, after downloading and installing the applicable Zoom Meetings client software on an iOS, Android, or Amazon Fire smart device if you've installed the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, or on a regular telephone. The Zoom meeting link to attend the Fantasy Book Group, which occurs the fourth Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern, is the following. https://zoom.us/j/56112974. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meeting app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the below two numbers to initiate the call. Plus 140-863-80986, 561112974#, +16468799. 5611129#. If you prefer calling on a regular telephone, use one of the following numbers. U.S. +1 408-638-0986 or +1 646-876-9923. You will need to enter the meeting ID, which is 5611129#. International numbers are available at https://zoom.us/u/capital X90A6C R. We hope you'll join us 102318 to discuss whatever fantasy book you've been enjoying. AccessibleWorld.org. Contact Robert Acosta, Chair Emeritus, www.accessibleworld.org and www.radiooutofthepast.org. Phone 818-998-0044. Email boacosta@pacbell.net. Website www.helpinghandsnumber4theblind.net. Larry Gassman, Accessible World Co-Chair. Phone 714-449-1958. Email Larry Gassman, 2 S's, @roadrunner.com. Ellen Lemley, Co-Chair, accessibleworld.org. Phone 601-919-6907. Email walemly@gmail.com. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Robert Acosta, President, Helping Hands for the Blind, 818-998-0044. The Academy for Certification of Vision Rehabilitation and Education Professionals, ACVREP, is developing a certification process for audio description professionals, including people who are blind or have low vision with experience as audio description consultants. The group is recruiting individuals who might wish to serve on its subject matter expert committee. The committee will be charged with crafting all material related to the certification process, including application materials. If you are interested in applying to be a member of the subject matter expert committee, please visit https://www.acverep.org/newsitem:query:ID=53. Sign up for paid accessibility testing. Hi All, Answer Lab, a user experience research UX firm, is looking for blind and visually impaired people to do paid in-person accessibility testing for products like the Google Suite as well as popular websites. We are looking for testers across the entire spectrum of visual impairment, ranging from people who use only built-in Zoom on the computer to those who are totally blind. If you live in New York State, especially New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, or Massachusetts, and want to be considered for paid accessibility testing, please fill out this quick survey at https://www.surveygizmo.com/s3/45897577/sign-up-4-answer-lab-user-testing-registry, and you will be contacted about specific studies later this year. We will keep your contact information confidential. Once you sign up for the database, you will be free to accept or decline invitations to participate in future studies, depending on your preferences. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me at Ariel@disabilitywisdom.com. Best, Ariel, A-R-I-E-L-L-E. From Blue Skies 11 at torpy.info, this week's episode is 1841 Encore of 1335, Meeting and Dating Across Borders, aired October 10, 2018. Viktor Tsarin grew up in Ukraine and is totally blind. Caro Karan grew up in Poland and is partially sighted. Last week, Nancy and Peter Torpy talked to them about their careers working on accessibility at Google. This week, we'll learn how they met in the U.S., became married, and managed to make a life together despite geographical obstacles. Find the audio and show notes and more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. The podcast can also be found on Apple Podcasts and can also be heard on your smart home device by saying play Eyes on Success podcast. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at http://www.eyesonsuccess.net/. Find the podcast on iTunes or use the URL, http://www.eyesonsuccess.net/EOS_podcast. Find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, and audioboom.com. From WhiteHouse.gov on October 10, 2018, the President has signed into law House Resolution 46, the Fort Ontario Study Act, which directs the Secretary of the Interior to conduct a special resources study to determine the suitability and feasibility of designating Fort Ontario in the state of New York as a unit of the national park system. House Resolution 2259, the Sam Farr and Nick Castle Peace Corps Reform Act of 2018, which amends authorities in the Peace Corps Act concerning Peace Corps volunteers. House Resolution 4854, the Justice Served Act of 2018, which authorizes the Department of Justice to award grants under the Debbie Smith DNA Backlog Grant Program for the purpose of increasing the capacity of prosecutors to address the backlog of violent crime cases involving suspects identified through DNA evidence. H.R. 4958, the Veterans Compensation Cost of Living Adjustment Act of 2018, which provides for a cost of living adjustment, COLA, for the beneficiaries of veterans' disability compensation and dependency and indemnity compensation equal to the Social Security COLA. Senate Resolution 791, the Small Business Innovation Protection Act of 2017, which amends the Small Business Act to expand intellectual property education and training for small businesses. Senate Bill 1668, which redesignates as the Joseph Sanford Jr. Channel the waterway in the state of New York currently designated as the Negro Bar Channel, and Senate Resolution 2559, the Marrakesh Treaty Implementation Act, which provides for the implementation of the Marrakesh Treaty to facilitate access to published works for persons who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled. And this press release from UrbanMilwaukee.com, Senator Baldwin's reforms to protect rights of disabled airline passengers pass Congress. FAA reauthorization includes key provisions from Baldwin's legislation to ensure equal access to air travel. Dateline October 3rd at 11:54 a.m. Washington, D.C. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin worked to include a number of key measures from her Air Carrier Access Amendments Act in the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2018 to protect the rights of disabled airplane passengers and close service gaps that passengers with disabilities frequently encounter in air travel. The reforms included in the legislation passed the House and the Senate and now head to the President for his signature. In order to keep America's promise of full equality for all, we must break down the barriers that individuals with disabilities and our veterans face when they travel, said Senator Baldwin. Equal access to air travel ensures individuals with disabilities are able to participate in today's economy and enjoy their travel opportunities. I'm so proud that my work to protect the rights of every airplane passenger earned the support of my congressional colleagues, and I'm looking forward to the President signing this important legislation. We applaud the bipartisan passage of this bill, said David Zerfle, National President of Paralyzed Veterans of America. Problems with air travel are by far the most common complaints we hear from our members. This legislation is truly a move in the right direction, and we will continue to support efforts to prohibit discrimination and make America more accessible for all people with disabilities. We appreciate efforts by Senator Baldwin and other members of Congress to address concerns from the disability community about air travel. At the ARC Wisconsin, we believe air travel should be inclusive for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and this bill is a step in the right direction, said Lisa Pugh, State Director of the ARC of Wisconsin. The passage of this bill is an exciting step forward for travelers with disabilities who have long faced barriers to safe, accessible, and dignified air travel. Disability Rights Wisconsin thanks Senator Baldwin for her efforts in passing these much-needed reforms. As a result of this bill, travelers with disabilities will now have increased protections for themselves and their equipment and have meaningful recourse if something goes wrong, said Bill Crowley, Ombudsman at Disability Rights Wisconsin. Senator Baldwin's efforts are supported by the American Association of People with Disabilities, American Council of the Blind, Access, American Foundation for the Blind, Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law, Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, Easter Seals, Epilepsy Foundation, Muscular Dystrophy Association, National Association of the Deaf, National Association for Councils on Developmental Disabilities, National Council on Independent Living, National Disability Rights Network, National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the ARC, United States Spinal Association, AMVETS, Blinded Veterans Association, Gotcha Six, Paralyzed Veterans of America, the American Legion, Vets First, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the Wounded Warrior Project. Senator Baldwin's reforms, included in the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2018, will increase civil penalties for bodily harm to a passenger with a disability and damage to wheelchairs or other mobility aids, require that DOT review and, if necessary, revise regulations ensuring passengers with disabilities receive dignified, timely, and effective assistance in airports and on aircraft, create the Advisory Committee on the Air Travel Needs of Passengers with Disabilities to identify barriers to air travel for individuals with disabilities and recommend consumer protection improvements. Require that the new Advisory Committee review airline practices for ticketing, pre-flight seat assignments, and stowing of assistive devices, and make recommendations as needed. Mandate the DOT develop an Airline Passengers with Disabilities Bill of Rights in consultation with stakeholders, describing rights of passengers with disabilities and responsibilities of air carriers, and study in-cabin wheelchair restraint systems. In coordination with disability advocates, air carriers, and aircraft manufacturers, on the ways in which individuals using wheelchairs can be accommodated with in-cabin wheelchair restraint systems. For more than 30 years, the Air Carrier Access Act, ACAA, has prohibited discrimination based on disability in air travel. Despite this progress, many travelers with disabilities still encounter significant barriers when they travel by air, including damaged equipment, delayed assistance, and lack of seating accommodations. That's why Senator Baldwin introduced the Air Carrier Access Amendments Act last year to protect the rights of airline passengers with disabilities. From www.number2.philly.com, The Inquirer Daily News, philly.com. The Health and Wellness section. Can Braille survive in a smartphone world? By Mary Alex Bernard, posted August 30, 2018. On a recent morning, six visually impaired people gathered in a building on Walnut Street, huddled over their iPhones, waiting for Andrew Godwin's intermediate technology class to begin. The day's lesson? Creating and finding contacts in your cell phone. At the Associated Services for the Blind, ASB, in Center City, people who are blind and visually impaired can learn the skills they need to survive and thrive in today's digital-first society. The nonprofit also offers classes to teach people with low vision how to read Braille. For decades, ASB has been one of the largest producers of Braille in the United States, creating versions of everything from books for the Library of Congress to manuals for Comcast products, such as your cable box or wireless internet router. But the number of Braille readers has decreased significantly in the last 50 years. In 1960, half of all legally blind children in the U.S. were able to read Braille, according to a report by the American Foundation for the Blind. Today, fewer than 1 in 10 blind people possess this skill. The number of fluent readers has plummeted for a variety of reasons: a shortage of teachers, decreased emphasis on teaching Braille to low-vision individuals, and the rise of assistive technology. Technology offers the opportunity for those that are blind or visually impaired to live independently, said Godwin, 46. To demonstrate, Godwin opened an app, Seeing AI, on his iPhone 5S and turned the camera to face himself. The phone described aloud what it saw: 56-year-old male with dark hair looking happy. Godwin laughed. 56, he said. The app isn't perfect, but it is helpful. Users can program it to recognize faces simply by holding up the camera. They can find out who is in the room without having to ask. Godwin, who is blind due to a rare inherited eye disease that affects the retinas, began teaching at ASB 2 years ago. He hosts group classes on cell phone usage as well as one-on-one computer lessons. He tailors the courses to the specific needs of his students, such as a recently blinded author who wishes to continue his career using assistive technology. Audiobooks and screen readers, programs that convert on-screen text into audible speech, make reading more rapid for individuals such as Godwin, who are used to relying on hearing and can understand speech at a speed that far exceeds a normal speaking pace. But the new technology is not embraced by all. For Lavera Diggins, 87, who lost her sight at 18 and says the loss was like death, reading Braille allowed her to find independence. After learning to read Braille at ASB, she became a volunteer teacher. She creates Braille labels for her clothing, cans, and cassettes at home to be able to identify the products on her own. Diggins doesn't expect to pick up the newest technology because of her age, but with Braille, once you have it, you can use it. Without the ability to read Braille, visually impaired people must take in all information by listening. But with the raised dot Braille system felt by the fingertips, they can process data at their own pace. It's one thing to receive information passively as you're listening, but when you're bringing it in and interpreting it, it's much more of an active way of engagement, said Tony Stevens, Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs for the American Council of the Blind. Stevens was born with low vision and became completely blind at age 15. It took him 2 years to learn to read Braille. In recent years, he's been using Braille more. Technology, apart from offering an alternative to Braille, also makes access to Braille easier. Refreshable Braille displays, tablets that can be programmed with different Braille texts, are becoming more affordable and widespread. People who shied away from Braille in the past because of inconvenience, a Harry Potter novel in Braille would fill an entire bookshelf, can now carry a novel in one hand. Technology has made a huge achievement in access to information, but at the core there is still the fundamental need for literacy, Stevens said. Monica Heap, a sighted Braille instructor who retired a few months ago, taught hundreds of students over her 34 years at ASB and believes the skill is crucial for visually impaired people. Braille is like a paper and pencil, said Heap, 65, of Lindenwold. What do you do when all of a sudden you don't have access to the Internet? Godwin doesn't read Braille other than on short labels and notes around his house, and as a result, he can't spell for beans. But his son Andrew, who was born with the same eye disease, is an avid Braille reader and would be devastated if Braille books were no longer produced. As an aspiring engineer, the 9-year-old finds it important to be able to read design plans and diagrams independently. Braille will never go away, Godwin said. It will forever be relevant, I believe, just for literary purposes. Still, in Godwin's classes, a future without Braille doesn't seem impossible. On that particular July morning, cell phones spoke quiet commands to their users as they navigated them easily. Godwin sent a text to his wife using Apple's talk-to-text feature, listened to his emails were dictated, and used an app to read aloud a printed document in front of him. Together, Godwin and his students worked through the technological hang-ups the class encountered since they last saw each other. I love learning with you guys, Godwin said. There's never a class of students that doesn't make my brain work hard. Robert Weissman for the Boston Globe, September 9, 2018, and edited for Time. Hope for new macular degeneration treatments buoys patients. The prevalence of macular degeneration is rising as the population ages. The number of early-stage cases for those 50 and older is projected to nearly double to 17.8 million in the United States by 2050, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For baby boomers who are living longer than past generations and fiercely prize their independence, it's a dreaded diagnosis that threatens to rob them of everyday functions such as reading, driving, cooking, or watching television. Scientists in Massachusetts and around the world are experimenting with dozens of drug candidates, including about 20 in clinical trials that work to preserve vision and ideally restore sight. They include not only well-established drugs, such as repurposed statins, but also new approaches, such as gene therapies, stem cell treatments, and medicines tailored to the genetic makeup of patients. The disease, considered the leading cause of blindness in older Americans, is triggered by fatty deposits that damage a spot in the retina called the macula, which lets the eye see fine detail. Its rate of progression varies. Some patients don't experience vision loss for many years. Others lose sight in their central field of vision, inhibiting their ability to see straight ahead, but retain peripheral vision. Patients with a more severe form of the disease can receive periodic injections of an antibody into the eye that can slow progression of the disease by blocking the leaky blood vessels. That would be the wet version. A new generation of treatments may emerge in the next 5 to 10 years. Some of those new treatments could be less uncomfortable and time-consuming than today's injections. The emerging field of gene therapies, for instance, promises one-and-done procedures that could stop the disease in its tracks by inserting healthy genes into cells in place of defective or missing ones. Another approach involves stimulating cells in the retina to act as mini-production factories that generate proteins to protect the macula. Such advances can't come soon enough for such patients as Laura Brennan, 64, of South Boston, who gets shots into her eyes every 2 months to stabilize her vision. Brennan, who first experienced wavy vision when she was in her 50s, is determined to keep on living her normal life. The injections and other adjustments have enabled her to continue walking, swimming, and working as a chef for foodies markets in South Boston and the South End. When I first noticed that I couldn't make out someone's face across the room, that was very difficult, said Brennan, who recalls her father also developing macular degeneration late in life. But I've been able to adapt. I know people are by their steps or their voice. At this point, my goal is to preserve the vision I have left, not to have it decrease anymore. While macular degeneration is thought to be influenced not only by genetics, but by environmental factors such as smoking, gene therapies have incredible potential to treat the disease, said Luke Vanderberga, co-founder of Odilia Therapeutics, a Boston nonprofit working to commercialize retinal disease research. Decades of research to understand diseases is now helping to power the new approaches to treatments, he said. Ben Schaberman, official at the Foundation Fighting Blindness, a patient advocacy group, said the retina, a thin tissue lining the back of the eye, is emerging as an ideal proving ground for the young gene therapy field. The retina is accessible and a really good target, he said. If you get things to work in the retina, there's a good chance you could apply them to neurodegenerative disorders of the brain or the central nervous system. Gemini, based in Kendall Square, is trying to bring the precision medicine model being deployed in targeted cancer treatments to AMD. Unlike drug developers that try to make a one-size-fits-all treatment for macular degeneration, it's focusing on treatments tailored to subsets of patients with distinct genetic variations that put them at risk. I'll have to end it there. We're running out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradingservice.org. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long until next time.